good day. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail with Mark Amaru Pinkham. This program will explore the secrets behind the Knights Templar and other secret mysteries of the world today. Now here's your host, Mark Amaru Pinkham.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Guardians of the Holy Grail, the program dedicated to diving deep to uncover and expose the truth behind the Knights Templar, the secret societies, and the ancient Holy Grail mysteries. The Guardians of the Holy Grail show was created by me in order to clear up many of the popular misconceptions that have been perpetrated in the mainstream media regarding the secret societies, the Holy Grail mysteries, and the bloodline from Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Through this show, I hope to set the record straight with hard facts from authors and researchers, as well as with testimonials from current and past members of the Initiatic Societies. I myself am a Knight Templar of the International Order of Gnostic Templars, which was founded to revive the mystical rites and wisdom of the original Knights Templar that over the centuries have either been lost or ignored. You can learn about our Gnostic Templar organization and sign our mailing list by visiting www.gnostictemplar.org. While you're there, you can also sign up for our 18-lesson Gnostic Templar e-course. You can become an associate member. There are videos to watch and books to buy. The most current book that we're featuring on the website is my new book called World Gnosis, The Coming Gnostic Civilization. Now, this book chronologues the movement that has passed down through the Knights Templar and the secret societies to found a one-world civilization that's based on Gnostic spirituality. The movement to a one-world civilization actually began thousands of years before the Knights Templar were even formed on the legendary continents of Atlantis and Lemuria. And that's where the book begins. It culminates with a description of what this new Gnostic civilization is bound to look like and the new spirituality that will be an important part of it. You can purchase this book in our IOGT web store on our website, which once again is www.gnostictemplars.org. Before I get into today's interview, I'd like to mention a pilgrimage I'm co-leading with my friend Nancy Safford, who is actually also our guest today. Nancy Safford is a high priestess of the Magdalene Mysteries and a Knight Templar. Together, we're going to be leading a pilgrimage into the Languedoc region of southern France and northern Spain, where we're going to experience and help unlock some of the goddess mysteries that have been practiced there for many thousands of years. And we believe the revival of these mysteries corresponds to the planetary revival of the goddess tradition that we're experiencing all over the planet now. And so we're going to take you to a number of places that the goddess energy is very strong. We're going to talk about some of those during the interview. Some of the other places will be the Chapel of Mary Magdalene in Rennes-le-Château, the Cathar Fortress in Montsegur, the Holy Grail Fortress in Montserrat that also has a very powerful Black Madonna, the place where Mary Magdalene and some of the other disciples of Jesus landed on the French coast, Saint-Marie de la Mer. We're going to visit there, as well as a number of other places. And we're corresponding our pilgrimage with the equinox and the full moon, which is, many of you know, one of the most powerful times of the year for ritual. And we're going to do a number of goddess rituals, and there will be an opportunity for initiation into the order of the Gnostic warriors. The tour is almost filled up. I think we have one, maybe two places left at the most. So if you are interested, you need to register right away. And you can do that by going to this website, which is www.sacredsitesjourneys.com. So don't hesitate. Register today. Now, as I mentioned, today our guest is my co-leader of that tour, Nancy Safford, who's and with Nancy we're going to be discussing the mysteries of Mary Magdalene. We're also going to be discussing two of the other knighted organizations that Nancy is a member of, as well as the role of women in the initiatic societies in general. Now, Nancy, as I mentioned, is a priestess of the Mary Magdalene Mysteries. She's also a member of the French Knights Templar Order, the OSMTH Order, in the Commandery of Mary Magdalene in the Languedoc region of southern France. Nancy is also a founding member of the Sacred Order of Venus Templars. She currently leads tours to the Languedoc region of France. I believe also tours here in this area of Sedona where we live. And if you're interested to know more about her and her tours, you can visit her website, which is www.nancysafford.net. So greetings, Nancy, and welcome back to the Guardians of the Holy Grail.
Greetings, Mark. It's really an honor to be invited back to do this interview.
Well, we're going to
talk about our trip, too.
Yeah. Well, now that we're getting close, the energy is building, the excitement is building, and that's all I want to talk about right now. One of the only things I want to talk about is that tour. So I'm glad you're on so we can do that. But first, tell me about the Magdalene, Mary Magdalene Mysteries. Now, how did you become a priestess of these mysteries, and what exactly is your role as a priestess?
Well, I guess, you know, it began, I've been in, lived between France and Sedona, and when I moved here, of course, I let go of everything that I'd done before, as often people do, looking for a new vision. And what began to happen to me, first I got involved, I'm a shamanic practitioner, but all of a sudden, everywhere I looked, every journey I took, there was the goddess. And so I knew it was time to do my, you know, to really look into that and to wake up, you know, my priestess self, my feminine self, and whatever that embraced. I think a lot of us get involved in being in the world and achieving and doing and accomplishing things. And so this was an invitation for me to really look more deeply into that aspect of who I was and my feminine self, which hasn't necessarily been supported in our society. So that's what happened. And there was a trip a friend of mine was doing in England in 95. And so I said, okay, that's it. I'm going. And ever since that moment that I was committing to the feminine, to, you know, going more deeply into the goddess, things started happening. And then when I came back in 95, I had a lot, most of my initiations happened just in being in places. It just happened, many things. And my kind of awakening, I guess you could say. And then when I came back, there was a priestess group, you know, it's called the Priestess Process, or Awakening to your Feminine, or your Goddess Self. And a woman started that from Tucson, who'd done an awful lot of work, written books, and it was just because it was being called, you know, people were looking for it. She started in Tucson, and it began as a 9-month process. And she was also involved with the Fellowship of Isis, and later knighted by Lady Olivier, you know, as a grand dame, commander of the high orders. And so she began this process, and so I entered it because I was really wanting to get more involved in it. And it was like a process. It was like a pod we created, together with the group. You begin and you end with that group, and then I was ordained at the end of it, and with the choice of being ordained as a priestess of Isis through the Fellowship of Isis, and also priestess to the world, you know, offering to the world what it is we are carrying forth, you know, each person individually, what it is you felt that was your gift to the world. And so I did that, and then right after that, you know, she began, because as the things were revealing themselves, starting a Magdalene group of revealing that and going more deeply into the new archetype, you know, sort of bringing ourselves out of the old archetypes and the old stories and coming into a new way of looking at things. And so that was another nine-month process that I was involved in, and then was ordained in that as well. And I started to do, a friend of mine had lived, I'd met on the England trip, to Glastonbury in 1995, and she had lived in the Rimla Chateau area for about 11 years, knew it really well. And so I asked her if she would facilitate this first trip, because I knew France, I'd lived there before, I have a background as a photojournalist, I lived with French peasant farmers documenting the cycle on the land, you know, with oxen and so on. And so that's how I really got my French down, really understood it, because I did my writing in French. So we went to Rennes-le-Château area in 1996, all priestesses, including Nicole Christine, who started the whole priestess process in about 1992, I believe. And so it was a very large group, and it was very magical. And so that was really the beginning of it there. And investigating the area there, and a lot of people go there, and, you know, a lot of people work with the Christ, and a lot of people don't have, knowledge of, you know, what is Magdalene, who is she, and that's where so many of the mysteries are. And part of your work, Mark, of course, bringing back the goddess, it's all related, because Magdalene is related to Isis, it's the same lineage, that's the way I see it, Mother Mary, and say that Magdalene and Mother Mary were both initiated in the temples in Egypt under the Isian mysteries. So that was really the beginning there, and there's so many Magdalene sites there, and it's hidden. The Isis part of it is hidden, but it's really known that Rennes-le-Château was an ancient temple of Isis. People don't talk about it. A lot of times I've had, you know, the great fortune of being able to live over there. In 2006, I moved over there for a couple of years, and I was going back and forth. But it's really like the people who know things really are the quiet ones. And so being there and sort of investigating and knowing some of these people, I learned a lot of things. And it never ends. There are so many Magdalene places of initiation, et cetera, that, it's rather exciting. So I learned, the Church of the Magdalene at Rennes-le-Château and the whole history of that with Abbé Saunier, which is really fascinating. It's all about treasure. You know, where is the treasure? What is the treasure? Is there a treasure? And who is the keepers of it? Who knows about it? And basically right now they've got a piece written outside the church of them. As you go into the Mary Magdalene, somebody had written recently, you know, the treasure is within you. And so basically it's, you know, maybe a bigger journey to know ourselves better, to know our own mysteries and the gnosis, you know, the way you think of it, Mark, and your sacred order. And so in the Languedoc area, there are many, many sites. Rennes-les-Bains is one of my favorite places. That's where I've always, you know, lived. Right near Rennes-le-Château, maybe 15, 20 minutes. And there you have, you know, the source, La Source de la Madeleine, which is a very special place where I just did a ceremony on Magdalene's feast day on July 22nd. And each place has a special energy, and each place has something for each of you. And there's no two people are going to necessarily receive the same thing, because it depends where you are, what your intention is, and what you're questing for. So we have the ancient seat they call the fauteuil du diable in French, which means the armchair or the seat of the devil. And oftentimes, you know, if you've been to Avebury. They have a rock there that has so much energy. They call it Devil's Rock. Even in Sedona, they have something called Devil's Bridge here out in the Volpe Arch area. And any place that seems to have a lot of energy or vibration to it, people before us have kind of tried to put it down a little bit, though it's not right. But anyway, so what we call this Fauteuil du Diable is really the seat of Isis. And so that's a major place up there. It's quite high up, and it's an ancient rock. And my friends, who I first went with on the trip in 96, said that it was about a 5,000-year-old stone that had been carved out into a seat. And that's a very important place for initiation. Each place has a sacred spring with it, and sometimes several, like the source of the Magdalene, has several springs to it, and each one tastes a little bit different. And even one time when I was there, I went to the spring next to the one we call the source of the Magdalene, and this huge being appeared and told me her name was Minerva. And so, so you never know what's going to come up next. And she was really big with her feet deep in the earth. But of course, we have so many people that lived there together, you know, from 600 BC. We have the Celts and the Greeks, and then we have the Romans. 200 BC arrived for about 300 years or so, built a lot of roads, and Menlay Baths, known for the sacred thermal waters. So you have the hot baths, etc. And of course, that has a lot of mystique and energy, and you have the Bandu, the warm waters, and then you have the hot waters, and then you have the sources where they come from. Some come from high up, and little place called the Little Cascade, which is one of my favorite places, where the hot waters flow down, and then they get kind of cool as they come. But I feel that these are all ancient places of the priestess, and, you know, I'm currently completing a book of all my experiences since 1996. Putting this all together, and it's all from my experiences and what happened. But that was one of my favorite places, and I've had so many visions, et cetera, there, that it's really keeps bringing me back. And I think the people on this trip, or, you know, other trips that I've led, have always wanted to come back. There's something that happens in the land. A lot of people feel that the whole Holy Family was there, and that Jesus didn't die on the cross. A friend of mine wrote a book, Jesus After the Crucifixion, and she lives right up there at Rennes Le Chateau, and her partner died a number of years ago, Graham Simmons, who wrote Rex Deus with Tim Wallace Murphy, I believe. And anyway, so a lot of people believe that the Holy Family lived right below Rennes Le Chateau. We have what some people call the Cave of the Magdalene across from Rennes Le Chateau. What's really interesting, when the Visigoths lived there, about 400 A.D., they were there, the Carolingians, and they called, there's two hills. And if you have a little distance from Rennes Le Chateau, you can see it has like a little bit of a flat top. And then there's another one that looks just like it across to the left. And Visigoths called those like the Twin Hills or the Twin Peaks. I believe I spoke about this in my last interview with you, Mark. But what's interesting is, digging a little deeper, found that one is the Hill of Isis, the other is the Hill of Osiris. And through the middle runs a creek called, or the river, a small river, called the River of Colors. And what's between them is what they call the Valley of Colors. And it's very alchemical, because you have the red rocks, like in Sidonia, the red sand and everything, and then you have the white sand. So right there, it's very alchemical, the mixing of the red and the white. But there is a cave, there's many caves there, actually, but there's a cave that our group will be going to explore, called the Cave of the Magdalene. And I've seen, you know, ceremonies going on there, with my other vision, with candles and with Magdalene, it's like places of initiation when it was dark. And so they're always doing that. And then I would later also heard that Magdalene had to be, of course, very careful there. And so she did a lot of her teaching, in the evening, you know, late in the evening. And there's caves sort of all around, and I'll find more and more. where Magdalene did teaching, and even, you know, Montserrat, where we're ending our journey there, it's also said that Magdalene did a lot of teaching there with her Tamar. So I'm just trying to think of some others. There's a place called the Gorge du Galimouts, which is, you know, where the area is also just packed with Cathar, caves, et cetera, because it's very much Cathar area all through there, and the Ariège was a little bit to the south, west. And the longer I stayed there, I started to feel that, oh my golly, you know, we should have a map of the inner earth, because it seems like there's more going on underneath the surface, you know, in the caves and how they travel from one place to another through the caves than there is on top of the earth. So they had a very, very important life in the earth there. And a lot of the Cathar initiations, of course, were done in the caves. So sometimes you'd be a month in one cave in the dark and probably with a little light. But there's many, many things. And so Magdalene did a lot of her teaching in the caves as well. And this place called the Gorge du Galimouts, which is a very, very windy road. There's a huge, you know, waters running beneath it, and it's very high up, rocks on both sides. And I love it because I'm always looking for caves. I'm always looking for openings, people looking out, et cetera, because I know they're all over. And this place was created by, in the lineage of Saint Anthony, Saint Antoine, like the hermit. And there's a small place, it's a cave there, you walk way down, and it's very, very invigorating, very magical. And it's a cave in the rocks there. And I had a major enlightenment experience when I got there and sat down. I couldn't move for an hour, and nobody could move me. I couldn't see anybody else. And right before it is an area, they say, the Magdalene did some of her teachings, and there's a body of water like a little well above it, and she was underneath. So that's interesting, too. But, of course, they have it shut off. You can't go in. But just the whole area is just labeled with you know, with openings and special places. And
I didn't think I could get more excited about this, about our tour, but I think you just made me that, Nancy.
Okay. Let me say something about Bezu. Bezu, you know, the Templar commandery up there, which is actually on one of the points of the temple landscape, that's known to be a natural temple landscape that makes a five-pointed star. And Rennell Chateau is one of the points. And the sacred mountain of Bucharest is another point where they've had, of course, you know, it's known to have had a theme community there. And Joel Byrne wrote about it, Journey to the Center of the Earth. But Bezu is another one of the points, and that's the Templar commandery, and there's a lot of mystery around that as well. But I remember going up to the top there and seeing two openings in caves. Of course, they have to sort of fill them in so people don't hurt themselves, but I really feel that this was a great place of initiation, and it was very attuned to certain aspects, you know, that were happening in the stars, with the stars, and so at certain times. They would do initiations there, you know, with male, female, young kids, etc. But it's really magical. So.
Well, it's like I said, you have just increased my excitement through your wonderful explanation of those sites in the Languedoc. And if I wasn't leading this tour, I'd definitely sign on to go on it, I think. So during our pilgrimage, we will be visiting some of those sites and you could potentially have experiences just like, Nancy has. The good thing about coming with myself and Nancy, I believe, is, you'll get to see both sides of the coin. I'm definitely more the left brainer, more the information person and Nancy's more the right brainer, so whatever I'm saying, you know, information-wise, she can confirm it on the others, because she has that vision. this. So I think we're a pretty good team that way, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do. I'm really looking forward to it myself. Yeah, and even Saint-Marie de la Mer is very, very special, where Magdalene says that Magdalene and the two Marys came in, and Joseph of Arimathea, and the Sarah came in from the Holy Land, where you have the Black Saint Sarah there, and that is a major place. Of, talk about the Black Madonna. A lot of people like to go in the crypt there where she is and just hold on to her vêtements, the French word for her clothes, and the gypsies are always laying new clothes on her, new shawls and new jewelry in honoring of her. But one time she just, in fact, I had a group in 2009, and we were there, and I could swear, I was standing there holding on to it, and I swear she stepped right out and gave me a message. Actually, the message was about my book, that I really needed to write it. And I'd never had an experience like that before. I mean, I felt like she came alive. And I know, Mark, you're going to be talking about the meteorites and, you know, the basis of that, of the Black Madonna, the special stones, the prophecy and vision. And so anyway, I wanted to say that it just came to mind. But it's a very magical place where they hold the Gypsy Festival every year in May. And bring, you know, honoring, you know, the whole crew that arrived there. And when they do that, and the first time I went was in 96, and I remember, like, every stone on the beach has incredible energy. You know, you just get a, you know, a beautiful heart opening, you know, from that experience. So.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of people listening in are interested to know how they themselves could potentially become priestesses of the Mary Magdalene Mysteries. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would say, there's people all around the country that are facilitating this process, and each person adds a little bit of their own to it, and that's the nature of it. Even when I was still facilitating priestess processes, I would add my own bent to it, etc. And I believe usually you go through one process, then you get to the other, you know, the priestess process, and then you go through to Magdalene after that. So you could contact me if you wanted, and there's people, as I say, all over the country that are facilitating a lot on the East Coast, Georgia, North Carolina, Kansas, Missouri, it's going up to Minnesota, Michigan, Washington, New York, of course in Tucson, all of Arizona, Tucson, Flagstaff, Sedona. But yeah, you can contact me and I can send you off to the right people or give you the information so you can connect with who you need to connect with.
Excellent, excellent. I'd like to ask you about the Knight Templar Commandery that you're a part of in the Languedoc, the Commandery of Mary Magdalene. I know it's part of the OSMTH, Worldwide Organization of Templars. Is this a typical commandery, or is there a lot more focus on the goddess and the Magdalene mysteries?
Well, that's a great question. Because I was living there and I met two people, friends, up on in Rennes Le Chateau, and Toby is, they're both Templars, he and his wife, and he is the commander of the Order of Mary Magdalene, which includes all the Languedoc. And let me see. They were originally German and moved to France and have a place right there. And they've been there for a long time. And so I was invited because I would bring my groups to have Toby do a talk. We would do a dinner there. And they just loved it. It was such an important part, because they both have such heart. And Gerda is just incredible. Or Francesca, we're calling her now. It's her real name. Is just such full of such warmth. So cetera, and that everybody on my trip that ever went there, it just changed their lives in some way. And so Toby, I was then was invited to, because I was living in France, to be a member, to join the member, the order. And so I said yes. And so we went through some, you know, initiations, et cetera. And then finally, I was invested, at Roslyn Chapel in, right at the fall equinox in 2007. And I can say, that it was, they decided to call it the Order of Mary Magdalene because it's her area. And that's how it got the name. I think it was Gerda Francesca's idea, and Toby liked it because, you know, obviously it was very relevant to what was happening there, one of the many mysteries. And so that's what happened. And so basically I believe that what it's about is that everybody is doing their research. And when I go to the very big world events, and there's, I believe, at least 30 countries involved, this year it's in Portugal, and that's where the Grand Master is, and he's been the Grand Master for about 50 years. You know, people come from all over, and throughout the year, they have, events going on. I mean, I could travel forever, going to different countries every month. And in the wintertime, I know that they have different presentations. People are always doing research. All the people that are in it because they've been doing research, and that's why they're invited to be in it. And so they're continuing their research, and then they're sharing their research in different areas in France. You can come and hear anyone you want. So it's very, really interesting.
So there's one more.
Of course, is a great researcher, too. Always researching. He knows a lot about the area of research, a lot.
Okay. Well, there's one more order I'd like to ask you about, the Order of the Venus Templars. That sounds very intriguing. I never heard of it before you. So please share some of the history of the order and what it means to be a member.
Okay. Well, I facilitated a trip in 2006 with Nicole, who was the whole founder of the Priestess Process and the Magdalene Mysteries, who really facilitated it all. We don't like to say we're teachers. We like to say we facilitate, because really what we do is hold a space and just, you know, create a program, you know, and each person proceeds in their own time, in their own way, as to what's waking up within them. So what happened is that this was really the next piece after the Magdalene Mysteries seemed to be the Venus temples. And there's a lot of things that came up because we have members that have their own mystery schools, the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School, and I asked my friend Kaylin to co-facilitate with me last, what was it, in 2007, right after I was invested in Scotland as a Templar. And so she's constantly doing research and bringing things up, et cetera. And I know that Venus, of course, is very important to all the sacred orders because she's the only planet that really makes a five-pointed star over a period of 8 years in the heavens. And I know that all the orders, the Masons, Rosicrucians, everyone is involved with Venus because Venus, first of all, does that. And so it's a certain amount of being able to know where we are in the eight-year cycle. And also she appears as both a morning and an evening star. And so I think when people who didn't have Social Security, they didn't have electric lights and things like that, these planets were very, very important. So with the Venus Templars, a lot of information came up and about, and actually I can also say that a lot of the information that I have that's in my book has to do with the temple that I've been shown in Ren from the first night I was ever there before the group came in 96. I was given a lot of information, and then it's just interesting how it's all orchestrated over the years that it was time to really put it together. I was given information about the temple and then the drawings of the inner temple and the keepers of it and so on, but only special people could do the work in the inner part. Only special people, and it had to do with the women and the priestesses. And so what I can say is that Nicole's information came together with Venus temples, how it got that name, I think. It was just what happened. You know, Venus is really important, and so it's just what came up. And we really began it in 2006 when we were on a sacred, we were co-facilitating. We had a large group. We had so many, we had to do two back-to-back groups in France. And that's when it began, where we completed a mission that we had all been on together in the early 1200s, where it had been stopped, and then we completed it, bringing certain codes up to certain, actually we completed it with a ceremony in the center of the five-pointed star, and that was bringing all the worlds together, but also unlocking the egg of all the encodements that have been locked in. And so I feel that right after that happened, you know, we did a ceremony at the Angel Valley Ranch in Sedona, and I believe, Mark, you had a ceremony right before, the week before it. So it was very interesting because we have the Knights Templar, and then we have the Venus Templars. And I believe that all the temples, you know, that all the orders are, you know, aligned with has to do with Venus. So we've just called forth, you know, this, the Venus, and doing like the inner temple work as well. It just, you know, I don't know how to say it except the Venus is an important star in the heavens, also working with Thoth. And information came through from Thoth about the seven temples on the planet, and Sedona has one, and France has one. And so that's what we named it. And so it's a self-initiating process, and we have priests and priestesses, and each one is, once again, bringing forth whatever they're bringing forth into the world. But it was a self-initiating process, but it was that week right after you, in February of 2007, where we began it. And what I found really interesting is because I was shown so much with the temple in France, and when Nicole and I designed the ceremony, I still never told anyone the real workings of the inner temple, but I have to say when I was invested in Scotland, it's very similar to the real ceremony, you know, of investiture, and even then they won't show if there's people there that aren't of the order, they will not show the real ceremony. So I don't know if you have that, if you have any knowledge of that as well, but I was very interested to see that the ceremony that I got, and then Nicole and I created together this ceremony based on some of the information that I had from the temple in France. We created, you know, our what we did in the ceremony was similar to probably ancient ceremonies that have been gone on since time immemorial, as far as we know. But so that's what it is, the Venus Templars. And you know, in this day and age, it seems that so many people have done so much inner work, and things are going faster and faster. And it's almost like, do we have time to go through all these other processes? I don't know. And so I know that if I was doing a group in France or somewhere, I could invite people if I had a good feeling about it, if they wanted to be invested, if they wanted to self-initiate into the temple, the Venus Templars. They could, you know, I could create that, but it has to do, you know, in the group, it would have to do with, you know, letting go of certain things and so on, to actually create a ceremony for that. But because, as I said, so many people have done so much inner work, and certainly being a guidance donor for so many years, I've worked with so many people, even if I had an afternoon, you know, passing through, had to do exactly what I could do, what felt right. And so I feel that this time is speeding up. And sometimes, you know, if that feels right for someone, that's going to be what's right. But I have to say that also, you know, the process of an initiation over a couple of years is also very enriching, you know. And that, so I don't have any direct answers as what's better for someone, but I know that I know what I've been through, and I know how it's changed my life totally, completely.
Do you foresee you setting up a temple or a center for the Venus Templars here, since in Sedona, since this is supposedly one of the locations of the Venus Temples on the planet?
That's a really good question. That is a really good question, because I have to say that I've been given some special drawings from France that I'm now going to go and make holograms of. I have six, four directions, and then two others. And I'm going to make large holograms, and I do want to set them up and create a temple. So this is, I'm sort of hurrying to get all this done, trying to get the funding to be able to make the large holograms. I have a background in holography, and they will be probably green, maybe two colors. So that's what I'm trying to figure out, where to put them. Maybe they'll be in upstate New York. Maybe I'll do one in France. That's possible. Definitely possible. But I'm thinking about that, so I'll let you know when I know.
Well, in the meantime, if people are interested in knowing more about the Venus Templars, can they contact you through your website?
Yes, they can. They can. And I'll be here for a month till the beginning of September, and I'll be back in France for probably 2 months. You and I will be doing our trip, and then I'll be there for maybe another month after that.
Okay. Well, those of you that didn't hear at the beginning of the show when we gave it out, Nancy's internet address or website address is www.nancysafford.net. So go there to find out about whatever, Venus Templars, Mary Magdalene Mysteries, and of course, the tours that Nancy leads around the world. So I have another question, Nancy, since we've been talking a lot about women in the initiatic orders, what do you see as being the future of females in the world's initiatic societies? Do you think that there is eventually will be an integration in what are now predominantly male societies of a balance, to create a balance of male-female? Or do you think that there's going to be more female or predominantly female organizations that are going to rise?
Good question. Well, I feel like, for instance, the Venus Templars is really about the balance of the male-female. I think it's really about all of us working together. I feel that maybe there's some work that the women do, but because what I'm feeling is that it's time to really do the ceremonies and new ceremonies. And I just did one the other day with some friends for the Lamas, you know, the August honoring the Great Mother. I feel that there's some ceremonies that the women do, and there's some ceremonies they can do both together. But I feel that it's really about the integration of the male and female. I think that that's what the oneness is. No more polarity, no more duality. And so, you know, what we're doing is waking up, honoring the purity among women and the honor among men. So seeing the Magdalene and the Christ in each other. And also both of them within ourselves. Yeah, I've been working a lot. I do a lot of work with inner balance with people so that there's an inner marriage, and so there's not a duality, so to speak, so that we're in oneness, and so we experience things as in the oneness. And that's what I feel. I don't know what you're feeling, Mark, about that, but I feel that the energies are changing, and it's really time to just let go of old emotional stuff and go take it to a higher place.
Right.
You know, sort of a luminous light. And that is the male-female, the merging of the male-female. So I feel we have a lot of work to do together. We have to support each other, number one. That's the most important thing. in maybe a new way, but, you know, it's not about reacting, it's about responding to each other. You know, responding to thoughts and ideas and creativity, you know, sort of to create this new celestial earth together. And that's what I feel.
Right. Well, that's exactly what I wrote about in World Gnosis, is now is the time to come together, all polarities, to create that balance of the male-female, wherever there isn't a balance, to create it, because that's what's creating disharmonies around the planet. And I believe that that needs to happen within the initiatic societies. Those that are predominantly male or all male, I believe that they're going to be best served by integrating right now. And if they don't, then I think there's a good chance that a lot of them are going to kind of fall by the wayside. And that's just my personal opinion. If the new era is as prophesized, then everything needs to be a balance of the male-female, no matter what it is, what institution it is, what organization, whatever, there needs to be the balance there. And so the last thing I'd like to ask you, Nancy, is since you just returned from Menlo Chateau, you're there, living there in that area for a few months, is there anything like you'd like to tell us about any kind of new information or new discoveries that are happening there right now?
A lot of times things are very low key, you know, and if you just check out on some of the researchers that are constantly doing research there, that's how you learn it, because nobody's broadcasting it. Believe me, because especially when people are researching, a lot of times they keep it quiet. They don't want to let anybody know until it's really come out. And in terms of Ben and Mary Magdalene body, I haven't heard anything more on that, but I know they're continuing to explore things. And there's, as I say, there's so much really. What is Rennes Le Chateau about? And a friend of mine who's playing piano up at Toby and Gerda have the garden, the Jardin de ma fille, right there across from the Villa Bethany, which is the house that Abbey Saunier built. And they run it, they have a little restaurant there. And we have a friend who's a piano player who's trying to transmute all that, bringing people there for healing, for light work, for, you know, taking it to a higher place. And I know what he's doing, the music he's playing, is people come and he takes their hand and plays to the soul. And he was with Five Lava for a long time and then, you know, finished there and left. And I asked him, I said, well, what do you feel about this? He's English, but he's lived in Abbey for a long time. And he said, you know, I really feel that there's another reason that really brought everyone here. It's beyond, you know, all the stories here. There's something really, really deep in this place, in Rennes Le Chateau, deep down in there, that's why all the people came, even Magdalene and Christ. This is why they came here, because there's something else that's here. It's not because they came here because this was the place to, and because they had the biggest community outside of Jerusalem actually was in this area. But there was something more there. And I just heard, and we were talking about this, Mark, that there was an ancient book writ too, actually, Tyrian back in 300, that the real Ark of Noah was in one of the mountains at one of the five points of the star, in the landscape temple there, Peshkadu. Also, Elizabeth Van Buren wrote a book, Refuge of the Apocalypse, in English. It never got translated into French. It's very hard to get, but it's talking about this being an entranceway into the inner earth, Agartha, so that this is really a doorway in. So, you know, people are always looking. People are always in the caves. As far as the body of the Magdalene, I haven't heard anything more about that. But I did just hear about the Noah's Ark being in the mountain, and that was like broke open. But I also know that other researchers. It's sort of like another level of people doing research for years and years and years, and finally that's a whole new level coming out. Like there's lots and lots. There's three different temples under there, I've heard, and I have a lot of drawings of one of the, you know, some of the things that I've been working with. But it's really refreshing to hear what other people are saying. So we have three of my friends are researching together. They're going all around doing this and that. And so I'm anxious to go back and hear more. You know. yeah, there's a lot, you know. In Rennes-les-Bains, the Abbé Boudet, who wrote the book The Real Celtic Language, which my friend translated after 2 years. It's called The Vraie Langue Celtique. It's all about, you know, the stone, huge stone circle around there, but more of the Rennes-les-Bains area. And the Celtic people lived there, and, you know, the high cities, they lived in the rocks up there. There's definitely cities, places of baptism. But talking about, you know, how the real laws were made in this sacred circle, you know, because it made everything neutral. So this circle all around Rennes-les-Bains, you know, is a very special area. I'm trying to think. I've seen, you know, some sacred stones that came out of deep beneath Rennes-le-Château. Lately, someone's been researching, and they don't know what it is, because there was mining always done there as well. I'm just trying to think. Yeah. I couldn't say anything, ooh, there's a body found, because a lot of the people say, no, that's not true. And that's why, and I really watched very attentively to see when they were showing the movie Bloodline before it actually viewed in Rennes-le-Château. So you have a lot of people that are researchers that are saying, oh, no, that couldn't be. We've been researching for this long, and how could that be? But I do feel that Ben is a really special person. He has a very special energy. And it's not just anybody that finds things that are important. And my feeling about the, you know, the body, what he said he's discovered, is that whether it is or it isn't, it's important because it's bringing a certain attention. It's bringing attention to that. Some people, like, you know, Henry Lincoln says he doesn't believe there's a body, but other people do. And so, do you know what I'm saying? It's, one isn't sure, but it could be very possible.
Well, of course, the revealing of these, for the revealing of these mysteries, timing is everything, and they're destined to be revealed in the right time. Apparently, a lot of people think that maybe some of these are destined to be revealed in September, and besides our tour, Ben Hammett's going to be over there, and there's other tours we've heard that are headed over there at the same time. So it seems as though people are kind of tuned in that there's something special that could potentially arise at that time, which is why I'm really happy that we schedule our tour for that time. Astrologically, we looked at all the signs in the heavens and on Earth, and that seemed to be the right time, and we've had a lot of confirmation that apparently it is. So it could be quite interesting, quite exciting time. And so I'm like I said, I'm very excited about it, and my excitement is growing, and Nancy's excitement is growing. And if you want to know more about our tour down there, you can go to this website, which is www.sacredsitesjourneys.com, and that will give you the whole itinerary, and you can register if you want, but don't hesitate, because we only have like one, at the most, two places left. And Nancy, you have been working on this book. Do you see the light at the tunnel? Do you see when you might actually have this thing published?
I'm hoping for, you know, summer of 2011, if not before that. Yeah, because I've been working on it nonstop, and even in France, it's sort of my main focus. And so, I'm hoping maybe next spring, next summer.
Okay, great.
There's holograms to go with it. So, well, yeah. So thank you, Mark. So, yes.
Yeah. Well, don't make us sit on pins and needles too long, you know.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm working out this month that I'm here.
Our butts can get pretty sore after a while, you know what I mean?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm hurrying.
All right, so is there anything else, are there any other events or anything you'd like to mention before we end here? Anything else you're doing you'd like to talk about?
You know what I just want to say? I just want to say after I received these special drawings, I call them tablets, it was right after I was invested in the French Templar Order from Scotland, and I knew that my heart really opened up. It changed a lot. And that's when I got them. It was right actually at the 12th of October that I received them, which is the date of, you know, Jacques de Morlaix, when they arrested him, et cetera, in Paris in 1307. But what I want to say is that I had a friend, who was, tuning in. I had her put her hands on the tablets and she went up there and she saw this lady and started speaking through her, and she said, And the lady was sitting in a very big chair up in the cosmos. It was red with big arms. And she said, "I am the greatest Templar of all, and you will obey me." And she said, "And what are you doing? You will start writing tomorrow. You know, get this out there." So I thought that was kind of a last note, because I was amused, because, you know, none of us necessarily like to be told what to do. But if you join an order, you definitely are surrendering to certain things, so if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she's got me going. So I'm working on it really hard.
Well, you've got the command from the greatest Templar of all, so it doesn't get any higher or better than that. So if you've got her behind you, I would imagine that is going to come to a conclusion. Right on schedule, or not soon afterwards, I'm sure. So let us all know when that comes out, so we can all get our signed copies of it.
Thank you. And yours as well, Mark. Yours is wonderful. I love your book.
Oh well, thank you for the plug.
Yeah. No, I've been reading. It's really great. Really
okay.
Great. So
I appreciate that.
Well. Thank you very much.
We'll be talking a lot about that book, or I will at least, or maybe both of us will, since you've read it now. Since on the tour, there's a lot of things in there that do apply to the Goddess Mysteries, and we'll be covering a lot of ground in regards to that. Goddess Mysteries all over the planet, talking about the whole Goddess tradition, you know, as much as we know of it from the very beginning. So, well, great. Thanks for being on the show, Nancy, and we'll look forward to talking to you again, maybe when your book comes out. Have you back on.
Thank you, Mark.
And I look forward to talking real soon down in the Languedoc of France. And if you want to hear more from Nancy in the near future, you've got to join our tour, okay? That's your only option. You've got to join our tour. And once again, if you'd like to join our tour, you can go to the website www.sacredsitesjourneys.com. So good luck to us, Nancy, leading that tour.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, and I'll be seeing you over there.
Yeah, we'll see you in France. It's going to be fabulous.
Okay.
And for the rest of you, we'll be back again in couple weeks. We're alternating week to week. We're on every other week now, and so I guess that's going to be on the 19th of August. So look for us then. And in the meantime, always remember that the Holy Grail exists right inside your own heart, and go there and find it. Bye for now.